From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Special hello to Israel Garcia Jr. He's on the mend. Get better, Israel. Later tonight, hauntings. Here's what's happening. AT&T and Verizon Communications have agreed to temporarily defer turning on some wireless towers near key airports to avert a significant disruption to U.S. flights. President Joe Biden has hailed the agreement, saying it will avoid potentially devastating disruptions to passenger travel, cargo operations, and our economic recovery. Verizon will temporarily not turn on about 500 towers near airports, or less than 10% of their planned deployment, while the carriers and administration work on a permanent solution to 5G. Both Verizon and AT&T will launch 5G on Wednesday elsewhere in the country, bringing faster speeds to tens of millions of people. The fast-moving Omicron variant may cause less severe disease on average, but COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. are climbing, and modelers are forecasting 50,000 to 300,000 more Americans could die by the time the wave subsides in mid-March. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has advised against travel to 22 nations and territories because of a rising number of COVID-19 cases. They include Israel, Australia, Egypt, Albania, Argentina, Uruguay, and some others. The Supreme Court has denied an emergency request for a pause to the federal COVID-19 airline mask mandate. The emergency application was seeking to stop the Transportation Security Administration, the TSA, and their federal mask mandate for individuals in airports, onboard commercial aircraft, and over road buses and commuter bus and rail systems. The coronavirus mask mandate is in place until at least March 18th of this year. And a Houston doctor, previously in the spotlight after being suspended by Houston Methodist Hospital after they accused her of spreading COVID-19 misinformation, is now suing the institution. Ear, nose, and throat specialist Dr. Mary Bowden, who runs a private practice, announced the suit. Let's check in with Dr. John Curtis. John, you've done some homework on COVID. Where do we stand these days?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main takeaway right now, George, for people who are paying attention, okay, is that Omicron is a tidal wave of infections, which means that there's a flooding, inundation going on in the hospital systems, not just in the United States, but around the world. So the idea that it's less infectious or producing less severe symptoms is a complete myth. The amount of COVID pneumonia, I'm talking about double pneumonia from COVID, is at record proportions right now. And when you stop to think, George, that 23 million Americans have no vaccination at all, 75% have only one shot, 63% have two shots. I mean, this is disgraceful. And the fact that you can't even find a COVID antigen test, basically, to confirm whether you have it. Now, there's good news on, you know, Pfizer's front today. They came out with their Paxlovid antiviral drug.
Mm-hmm.
But, George, that drug must be administered within 2 days of infection. Now, if you don't have a test, and you can't even determine whether you have COVID or not, then how is the antiviral drug going to be beneficial to people?
It won't.
Now, if you're hospitalized, maybe, and they're administering the drug IV, maybe it would help. But remember that remdesivir was out last year. It was touted as having these great results, and it never really did. And the monoclonal antibodies that everybody was so hopeful, you know, Regeneron's product, there's other ones that are out too, were supposed to provide, you know, therapeutics that were going to, you know, reverse the severity of these illnesses. Well, there's plenty of people dying of this right now. And I think that the main takeaway is that the vaccines, the mRNA vaccines, either Moderna or the Pfizer or the AstraZeneca, or the J&J vaccine, which is the adenovirus, are not stopping infections from Omicron. So once you get the infection, George, I don't know if you know who Stephen A. Smith is, but he's the highest paid sports announcer on ESPN.
Right. He came down with it
from COVID over the last, and he had Omicron.
So, and he was vaccinated.
Oh, he was triple vaccinated. So the fact that these breakthrough infections are happening right now should tell anybody, do not trust going into heavy environments where people are around you and not masked up properly. And we haven't even come around in this country to requiring either N95s or KN95 masks for every American. People are still using these useless, you've seen these masks. These are basically surgical masks.
Yes.
And, you know, the infection goes out the sides of the mask very easily. And, you know, when it comes to air travel right now, we still don't have any real rules in effect that require people to show proof of vaccines. So we're nowhere close to getting out of this Omicron, and we don't know whether there's another variant on the horizon that will replace Omicron.
John's website, onlinecolumnist.com. Space causes the human body to destroy its own red blood cells, and scientists just don't know why. The strange phenomenon is called space anemia, and new research suggests it plagues astronauts even when they return home. Interesting. Drivers could begin to experience real pain at the gas pump in the coming months, according to industry experts. It won't likely be until March as temperatures rise and spring break nears, but they will start seeing a huge demand in gasoline, and that means huge prices. Charles Koppus, our registered investment advisor with us, author of America's Financial Reckoning Day. I paid $3 plus in St. Louis, and it's over $5 in L.A., Chuck.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about that. I heard it was $4.65 over there, but it's over $5.
Yep.
It's not going down. Last week, we talked about energy costs. They're up 30% in the past year alone. The average price, I think, is around $3.35. Around the world, it's around $6 and $7. And, of course, I think the most expensive is Hong Kong, $10 or something. But, you know, there's a few reasons for this. Inflation is at a 40-year high. We hear about that. We have increased travel. The supply chain issues are coming to bear, geopolitical tensions in the Middle East, Russia, and so on. But you also have the green agenda, of course, in the Biden administration that shut down some U.S. energy production, infrastructure projects, along with more government regulations, and that increased the cost to the consumer. But, Western nations right now, they want a net zero carbon emission by 2050. And your governor over there, he wants it by 2035, George. I just don't see
this
happening. You know, in the past 10 years, they've only sold something like 7 million hybrid electric vehicles. And now they want something like 250 or 300 million in this space of time. Our electric grid is under stress right now. We saw that last year in Texas, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't go too well. So crude oil is a very strategic commodity. It's the number one exported product in the world, 100 million barrels per day. 60% of that is going to Asia and the emerging markets, particularly China. I think they import about 80% of what they need. Japan's almost 100%. But only 6% of our energy does come from wind and solar. So that's a huge gap, you know, that they're trying to close. And studies have also shown that when food and energy is like 40-50% of a household budget due to inflation and all these causes, you can get some social unrest. They even attribute the Arab Spring for that happening over there. So I think we can expect higher fuel costs this year. Some are expecting it to level off. Some option traders are even betting on $200 a barrel by the end of the year. That really wouldn't surprise me, but I guess that's why I always have energy stocks in my portfolio, because the world needs oil, George.
You got that right.
See the price going down.
How do we get this free newsletter from you?
Yeah, go to idpconsultinggroup.com, scroll to the bottom, and they'll see your smiling face there, and just sign up.
All right, my friend. Thank you. Last month, Tom T. Moore was with us as we talked about his latest book, The Gentle Way with Pets. But he also has a book called Atlantis and Lemuria, The Lost Continents Revealed, and I promised him he could come back and talk about that. Well, that's what we're doing next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our special guest, Tom T. Moore, back with us. His book, Atlantis and Lemuria, The Lost Continents Revealed. Tom is an award-winning author, speaker, entertainment industry CEO. He is telepathic and brings a keen knowledge of how requesting benevolent outcomes can be used in both business and in one's personal life. And here he is back on Coast to Coast. Tom, I promised you you'd be back, and here you are.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Great. How about you? Everything fine?
Oh, excellent.
Tell me.
And good evening to everyone that's tuning in to you.
When you wrote the book Atlantis and Lemuria, what was the subject matter that captured your attention?
Who? How they destroyed themselves. And that's why, you know, everyone's heard about these two continents, and they existed 60,000 years ago when the ETs seeded Homo sapiens around the world, and yet they don't exist anymore. So why? Where are they?
We're going to talk about what happened to them. Now, whereabouts were they? Let's talk about Atlantis first. Paint us a geographical picture. Where was it?
Sure. Atlantis was in the shape of a parallelogram. It was 10% larger than a present-day Australia, and it was located in between Europe, Africa, and North America.
And Lemuria?
And Lemuria was off the coast of Japan, and it extended all the way to within 100 miles of Hawaii, which is why there's such a heavy Lemurian energy on Hawaii, because all these Lemurians used to vacation there. And it was 12% larger than present-day Atlantis.
Did they both go down at the same time period?
No. The first major thing that happened was 30,000 years ago when Atlantis, because it was sitting on top of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, there was a line of supervolcanoes that bisected the continent. And they all blew up at the same time and sank the continent of Atlantis, leaving only some scattered islands in the Atlantic Ocean.
Was it like an instantaneous plunge?
Pretty well, yes. It happened within a week.
So those people really didn't have a chance, did they?
They didn't have a chance. Millions of people on the continent died, and along with millions of people around the world, because when the continent sank, the seas rose 162 feet.
Oh, my. And the tsunamis must have been unbelievable.
Yes. I mean, we talk about the poor Tongan people, where they had, they said 50-odd feet of tsunami. Can you imagine 162 feet? Hmm.
And about Lemuria, how did they sink?
Lemuria did it to themselves. They were an idyllic place for thousands of years, all the way up until 7,500 years ago. And I found out about it because one of my meditative sessions, I said, did I ever have a life on Lemuria? And it was one of these, Tom, you helped sink Lemuria. Turns out that I was a religious leader back in that time, 7,500 years ago. We were at war with the four other countries that inhabited Lemuria, and we decided to drop a couple of hydrogen pipe bombs. Whether they were hydrogen or not, I don't know. And on our enemies, thinking they didn't have a way to retaliate, but they did, and
that caused the whole continent to break apart, but through the use of these horrible, huge hydrogen-type bombs.
Tom, how many reincarnated lives did you have on Atlantis and Lemuria?
Well,
that you know of.
Yeah, I was told that I had 180 in Atlantean times and 65 during Lemurian times.
My God.
And I was told that I'm the only person in the world that has had that many lives on both continents, and that's why I was told that I needed to write the book.
What was it about your life that kept having you come back to those areas?
Well, it's like everyone. The average person has 600 to 800 lives on Earth. And it just so happened that a lot of my early lives were on the continent of Atlantis or the continent of Mu.
A lot of people have talked about Atlanteans being highly technical, advanced civilization. If you were there, what did you have?
Pre-energy through these giant crystals that they spread out every few miles that would sort of broadcast. It'd be like a radio signal that you're doing tonight. They would broadcast, but they had a limitation of the curvature of the Earth. And so they would have to have these giant crystals every 20, 30 miles, whatever it was. And they powered everything. They powered their aircraft. They powered their buses, trams, cars, all the electricity indoors. So it was free energy. It's just that they wound up misusing it and turning it into a weapon of war with lasers.
How did they get this kind of technology? Was it given to them, ET technology, or what was it?
Yes. The ETs made a big mistake and gave them free energy, and another set of ETs gave the Lemurians free energy, a different type, more like what's coming for us very, very soon with these perpetual motion machines. Mm.
Did they have flying machines, Tom?
Yep, they did. The Atlanteans had a problem with that. That became their Achilles heel because two of the lives that I had was as a soldier, and we were sent over to Africa because it was only 30 miles off the coast. At that time, it was called the Land of Oz, and we went over to conquer them. But the problem was the aircraft could not fly at night, so these Maasai-type warriors would gather up 20,000 strong or more, and they just obliterated us. So I died on the continent of Oz twice.
How did the expert Plato hear about this and write about it?
I was told it was his grandfather that went to Egypt and brought back parchments, and that these parchments are still in somebody's basement.
Some billionaire's house?
Could be, yes.
But how did Plato get it? His grandfather told him about it?
His grandfather gave it to him.
Interesting. I mean, and Plato was around in the B.C. period, right?
Yes. It's just that, you know, things have been over for a long, long time. I mean, when Atlantis, the continent went down, that was 30,000 years ago. And then when the sons of Belial, who inhabited Aran Island and the five smaller islands below it, which was on a direct line out from Washington, D.C. I don't know if there's a connection or not, but they decided they wanted to destroy Poseidon. They were tired of being at war with them, and so they did a Pearl Harbor, almost exactly like Pearl Harbor. They flew one early morning with 325 aircraft.
Jeez.
And with these laser weapons that melted the ground that literally people stood on along with the people. And in the first day of the war, 1.5 million people died.
Unbelievable. Tom, we're going to take a quick break. We will be back to talk more about your work, Atlantis and Lemuria, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you with Tom T. Moore as we're talking about one of his works, Atlantis and Lemuria. What's the connection with Noah and Noah's Ark, Tom, with these sinkings?
Noah actually happened, but they, in the Bible, I think it is, they said it happened only 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, and in actuality, it happened 12,500 years ago when the islands of the Atlantis people, Poseidon and Aaron, when they destroyed themselves, the seas rose 41 feet. And it didn't cover the whole world as it passed down through thousands of years. It only covered 41 feet for the lower lying areas of the Mediterranean. And so Noah was given the information to build a boat, and instead of having all the animals on Earth, that was changed over the thousands of years. He just had the domesticated animals, and they were put on the boat, and they sailed away and landed on the lower levels of Mount Ararat, and his son married a local girl whose family lived above the flood.
Was he tipped off by God?
Yes, that's what I was told.
Interesting. Since you've been looking at this, your reincarnated lives there, has that helped you with the information?
Yeah, it really has. Anyone, if you get into doing meditation and all, and you start learning about your past lives, you learn where you've made some mistakes and where things have gone good for you. And I was told that I've had 1,005 lives. Now, most people only have 600 to 800, but I've had 1,005. But I still have 300 more to go because my sole interest is religions, but it's also my sole interest is assisting leaders of countries. So as an example, I'm going to be your assistant in one of your upcoming lives where you're going to lead a country.
Oh, really?
Yep.
How about that? Interesting. What country?
Don't know. I just was told that you're going to be a leader of a country, and I'm supposed to help you.
Interesting take on that. Now, in this particular case with Atlantis and Lemuria, were they warring countries?
They weren't for a long time. Well, Atlantis probably was more warring than anybody else because they decided to conquer everything around them. You know, they tried to conquer the land of Oz, Africa. They conquered most of the Mediterranean, and simply, you know, because they had all these futuristic weapons they could use. And then Lemuria, or the continent of Mu, they were very idyllic. That's why I only had 65 lives there, because for thousands of years it was very, very idyllic, and it was only in the last 1,000 years that they started warring against each other, which resulted in them destroying themselves.
Fascinating. Have other people done a lot of work on this?
Oh, you know, the problem is most people just try and find information, old history. But the history of these two continents, you know, they drowned. The people, millions of people drowned. They wiped out all these histories, so they just no longer exist. And so I was told this was the time, psychologically or subconsciously, people are afraid that if they use these free energies again, that they're going to go down the same path and they're going to destroy themselves. So people have that as a subconscious fear. And I'm told that we will never destroy ourselves again, and so it's time for us to look at the history of both these continents.
Did these continents have the kind of technology, Tom, to get them to the moon during that time period?
No.
Okay, so there weren't spacefaring people.
They were limited.
Interesting. What about weaponry? What did they have?
Well, for sure, the Atlanteans had these laser weapons. That was what they used. And then, as far as the Lemurians, they had this free energy, but somehow they turned it into giant bombs.
You've got a free newsletter I'd like you to tell our great audience about. Go ahead.
Sure. It's a free weekly newsletter. You can go to www.thegentlewaybook.com. And on the opening page, there's a little box, and you just fill in your email address and name and send it off, and we'll add you to my weekly newsletter. I receive questions from all over the world to ask in these meditative sessions. I've asked over 30,000 questions so far.
Jeez, you're a little like Edgar Casey.
Yeah, kind of. I started where Edgar left off, you could say.
Yeah.
And followed up, and it's I could never have written these books without all the questions that people sent to me to ask in these meditative sessions.
Tom T. Moore with us. His website's, like he mentioned, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. In terms of the technology that they had, were they good people and used it the right way?
You know, they were humans, okay? So they're
subject to human frailties, no doubt.
Yes. And that's the thing that we've had to get over and get to the point where we will never destroy ourselves again. That's what I've been told. And they say, well, it might not look that way right now, but by the end of this century, there will be hardly any conflicts.
Tom, when these continents went down, and you said it took a week or so for the entire continents to sink, did some people have the ability to escape?
Yes. Now,
and where'd they go?
12,700 years ago was when I was inspired to create the Gentle Way, and I had 1 million people requesting benevolent outcomes on a daily basis. Now, this was in Poseidia, mostly Poseidia, because Aaron, again, were the sons of Belial, and but I did have some people on Aaron that did request benevolent outcomes. So I was told that a war was coming and to leave Poseidia. And so I and 25,000 of my followers migrated, and we didn't do it all at one time. You can imagine trying to feed and so on 25,000 people at one time. But over a period of a few months, 25,000 people migrated to Egypt, and there was a Egyptian princess that in her meditations was told that we were good people, and she helped us settle there. And that Egyptian princess is my wife now, and in her next life, she's going back 12,500 or so years ago to ancient Egypt, and she's going to be he's going to be a leader of his country. I'm going to be his assistant, but that's a past life for me. I've already had that life.
No, they existed before Jesus, but did they have any religious overtones?
Well, yeah. Poseidia had the Law of One, and Aaron had the sons of Belial, okay? And there's ancient information. I didn't stick too much to their religions. In my book, Atlantis and Lemuria. So, yes, they did have religions, but different from each other.
Now, when we also talked about the gentle way with pets on your last visit with us, angelic help for your animal companions. Let's take a few minutes to talk a little bit about that. I got a lot of emails the day after you were on the show. People like that.
Good.
You did a good job with that. I mean, but what's the angelic tie into that?
When you request a benevolent outcome, let's just say you can request benevolent outcomes for going to the store or going to the post office or a parking spot or even a MBO for the perfect job, the perfect home, the perfect mate. Okay, those are all things that you can request a benevolent outcome for, because benevolent outcomes are specifically for you. Benevolent prayers are for other people. And when you request benevolent outcomes for your pets, it can be to find the perfect pet for you, to find the perfect vet, the food, and even when your pet transitions to request a benevolent outcome for your pet to come back for another life with you.
Now, with these requests, sometimes greed gets in the way. Can you ask for too much?
Yeah. It all depends. what is too much? If you say I request the most benevolent outcome, you know, to win the lottery, then that's probably not going to happen, because sudden wealth is a soul contract item, and so obviously the great majority of people are not going to win the lottery.
What if you want to win the lottery to give it away and help people?
Yes. Well, as an example, and I can't remember if I used this last time, but I had one lady up in Canada that was going to lose their vacation home that had been in their family for many, many years. And so she requested a benevolent outcome to win the Canadian lottery, and she won $1 million Canadian dollar.
Really?
And they were able to save their vacation home. And I've had other people that have won, you know, $50,000, or I even won half of a bingo pot that was $8,400 when we were on a cruise, and I won half of a bingo pot. And that allowed us to take the same cruise the following year.
Did you know you were going to win? Did you feel it?
No. I just said I request the most benevolent outcome to win, you know, the cover-all jackpot. And I didn't, and as we went along, nothing was happening. I didn't know what was, you know, that I didn't really think I was going to win anything. And then suddenly, bang, you know, here comes a number. Bang, the next draw was the next number. The next number, and the next number. And I yelled out, bingo! And the kid, there was a 12-year-old kid next to me who said bingo at the same time. And
he won, too?
And he won, too. So we split the $8,400 pot.
They let a little kid play bingo, huh?
Well, on a cruise ship, they're pretty loose. He was with his family. I know people thought he was my kid, but it wasn't. It was a kid playing bingo with his family.
How much of it had to do with your attitude that allowed you to win?
Oh, I think, you know, you just request a benevolent outcome and you release it.
Because you can create your own luck. We've got a guest that comes on the show every once in a while, Joseph Gallenberger. and he's convinced that people can control their luck and destiny. Would you think that's true?
I don't know. I find that when you request benevolent outcomes and you release it, so many good things happen to you that you can call it luck or whatever, but good things happen, and you just have to release it.
We're going to take your calls next hour with Tom T. Moore as we talk about Atlantis, Lemuria. Let's also talk about making things change for yourself. What about prayer, Tom? How important is that?
Benevolent prayers, when you say that for other people, it's like you're sending them white light, and it's amazing some of the things that you can accomplish with a bunch of people saying a prayer out loud, because people have not discovered yet that the human voice is extremely powerful. And when you have 100 people or 1,000 people, I've been told one day in the future I'm going to lead 1 million people in a prayer for peace.
Well,
that's a good thing.
Going
to happen, but it's supposed to happen.
Tom, we're going to take a quick break and come back and take phone calls in our next hour with you. Tom T. Moore with us, the name of his book, Atlantis and Lemuria. He has a free newsletter. You can sign up for it by going to his website, thegentlewaybook.com.